Time now to catch up with Jeff from Acela One. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all our listeners.
We have plenty to talk about today.
Yeah, we were just chatting about the nice chilly weather here, Peter. It's going to kill off a lot of problems for our farmers in New South Wales, of course. When you get frosts and have had light snow up north, up in the tablelands, you kill off worms, of course, which are a plague for sheep up there in the New England. And so you got to have extreme cold or extreme heat, anything in between, of course. And it's quite a problem controlling such things. So, and we're fairly chilly here, Peter, but not quite a frost. It's getting to that point where we will. We did have a frost a couple of weeks ago, you'll remember, but not today, but chilly for sure.
Mate, is that going to affect the grapes and how they grow and all that?
It does, yes. It makes them much better, Peter.
And oh, really?
We've talked about this before, that grapevines need a really good dormancy to produce good wine. If you think of all the really good grape areas of the world, they'll have a really good winter period of dormancy. Countries that don't have that dormancy, like Mexico and Southern California and some other areas, produce wine. The grapes will grow nearly anywhere, but boy, the wine's just, it's often regarded as swilling juice, Peter.
Rough.
Yeah, I think it's what
swilling juice, I love it.
It's what killed the wine industry in Queensland as well. There's still, I think they're importing some grapes up there. Some of the wineries that tried to sort of get going with vines. You get up into Toowoomba and that area there where it's high, you know, you've got a better chance. You can't grow good wine grapes in the tropics, but or in the warmer climates. But if you get high enough, you can probably do it. That's why there's so many these recognized wine producing areas, Peter, because they got the right combination of climate and soil, and they're just able to grow the grapes that have the flavor.
Boy, does your winery put out grapes that have flavor.
So I think I sent you one of the new 2017 Merlots. I don't know if you, the 2014, of course, is superb wine.
Yes.
But I sent you one of the 2017 Merlots, I think, too, Peter. It was absolutely beautiful.
And, I've got to order a pack, too. I'll do that later today.
So that's it, Peter. we're essentially, where we said we would be. When we first started talking about this 3 months ago, we're exactly where we said we would be, Peter, and that is learning to live with the coronavirus.
Yes.
And I don't understand why the government didn't figure it out 2 months ago that it wasn't going to go away, never going to go away. It might eventually, as these things go, but you got to learn to live with it. And they spent no money figuring out how to do that, Peter.
It's amazing.
Excuse me. That's our future for the time being. And they come up with all these silly little things, rules and regulations that have got the clubs and the restaurants completely confused. I mean, just think about the stupidity of the fact that under the regulations now, Peter, when you take your family out for dinner, they got to sit, a meter and a half apart. Excuse me.
That's all right. I think the family, and unless I got it wrong, I think families can stick together, but yeah. Unrelated people have to separate.
Yeah, well, we've been pushing that. As we said, there should be no restrictions on that. In a restaurant, you divide it in half, and family sit this side, and non-family sit the other side.
Yeah, that's all.
And you might keep tables separate, the strangling industry, strangling everything, and this bubbling pandemic under the surface, is Victoria's had a few breakouts, but that's what our future is, Petey. You find a breakout, you isolate everybody and send them home for 2 weeks, and then you carry on. You disinfect and you carry on.
That's right. That's all you can do.
Yeah, there was an interesting research published yesterday, actually, about it was a combination between U.S. and Japanese researchers. They've known for quite some time that high-frequency ultraviolet light, 200 to 300 in the frequency, maybe millions, and I guess, I don't have it in front of me, but kills the coronavirus and stops it from reproducing. So they've come up with a way of getting a handheld device. And so you're going to be able to walk around the place swabbing everybody. I don't think everybody, but you know, cleaning. It'll be great for public facilities and things. This high-frequency ultraviolet light kills the coronavirus. So
yeah,
let's hope that this handheld device gets onto the market quickly.
Yeah, I'll say. Anything like that is only going to be a boost. And, oh, by the way, I noticed that you can taste again, too.
Oh, taste again?
Yeah, well, there was...
Oh, you mean for wines?
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Hang on, I'll go out and come back in again.
Yeah, well, that's one of the signs of coronavirus, Peter. You lose your sense of smell and your sense of taste. So I thought you were actually talking about the virus.
No, we can lose everything. We don't mind. But yeah, it's nice to know that you're not shackled into doing things in order to get people to come out to the winery.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's going to be a busy weekend. We've got quite a few bookings for white cheese and wine tastings. We don't have to do cheese anymore. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's recovering. It never should have been shut down here like it was, Peter. It's insane. These people live in Sydney and big cities and that, and they think they know what's going on out in the bush. They have no idea, Peter.
That's right.
They just destroy everybody, you know, sort of slash and burn, you know, kill everybody. Kill off everybody's business. And, you know, a lot of these remote communities in New South Wales, damn, they've never even heard of coronavirus, Peter. Well, that might be a bit of an exaggeration, but, you know, it's...
Yeah, I was going to say you stretch it a bit there.
But it's still, you know what I mean. I mean, you can't dictate. Sydney's not the only place, and Newcastle, not the only places in New South Wales. You know, it's... and you've got to... show some judgment. And look, I'd have been quite happy if they locked Sydney down, you know, and let the rest of us carry on, you know, as usual.
Yeah, that would have stopped the spread and they could all have it to themselves.
Exactly.
Mummy taught me to share.
Yeah, so...
I'm being sarcastic, of course.
Yeah. So, I'm just looking online here, Peter, that they've had... Oops, I brought up the wrong one here. There was an outbreak of Ebola, and I've lost the article now. Oh, there it is. Five dead in a new Ebola outbreak. And so there's a disease we have to worry about, Peter. But, you know, as we talked about before, diseases, aggressive diseases, are their own worst enemy because they kill the people that they're... you know, relying on to spread and multiply. So this one came out of the Congo, this outbreak, which where a lot of them do come from, probably most of them come from. So I think some might have been up in Nigeria at various times. But anyway, the you know, that's a disease that kills between, well, it depends on what you read about, but it kills between 50 and, you know, 85-90% of the people that catch it. But it's a very fast-acting disease. You get it, you get sick, you die, Peter. So it doesn't have a chance to spread. The insidious ones are like tuberculosis and AIDS and all those, because they kill you, but they take a long time. Yeah. Well, not a huge amount of time. Tuberculosis used to kill people relatively quickly in the days before medication. In fact, in England, of course, it was the Bronte sisters all died before they reached 30. And they wrote all those amazing novels, and they all died very young. So, and we forget that those diseases used to kill an incredible number of people. And they're gone now. So that's a slow-acting one, and And coronavirus, of course, is a relatively quick-acting one in 3 weeks, but that's enough time to pass it on, you know, before, you know, even those people that die can pass it on, because it takes, you know, three weeks to 3 months. So, but anyway, we're going to learn to live with these things, Peter, and we fortunately don't have Ebola or any of those, and they're mostly still in Africa. And, you know, because they come from the monkeys, and although we do have some monkeys here, they're mostly dressed up.
Yeah, they're usually on the bus.
Yes, Peter, I know. Yeah, but they don't spread Ebola, fortunately.
No, they just sneeze and cough and talk very loudly up the back. Actually, it's a bit funny because that happened yesterday. Young lady got on the bus. She had earphones in her ears, obviously talking to somebody, and very loud. And of course, because I'm wearing hearing aids, I said, "A little bit louder, thanks, we can't hear you." Well, the whole bus laughed. She didn't hear a thing. She just kept going. And I thought,
Living in their own world. Anyway, we had something interesting happen today, Peter. Research came out of Tulane University about cancer research.
Yep.
And this one's, I got the wrong one up here.
You got dyslexic fingers.
I do have it, Peter. I'm going to have to find where that heck went. Mm-hmm. Ah, Peter.
I'll just hum along.
It's like you pressing the wrong button, Peter.
Oh, yeah, I do that quite often.
Here's the right one. I'll bring it up right here. Okay. Scientists, and Tulane University, by the way, for those that don't know, it is down in the old South, Louisiana, in New Orleans.
Oh, okay.
It's a highly respected university, private university. But they have, and I'll just read you the summary. Researchers have identified a gene that causes an aggressive form of breast cancer to rapidly grow. More importantly, they have discovered a way to turn it off and inhibit cancer from occurring.
Oh, the girls will be happy about that.
Yeah, this is, gene, and it's the TRAF3IP2 gene. And I'm sure that gave you a lot of information, Peter.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, who comes up with these names?
But they have shown that it suppresses the growth and spread, which is metastasis, in mouse models. And it not only stopped future tumor growth, Peter, but caused existing tumors to shrink to undetectable levels.
Oh, good.
And this is triple negative cancer, breast cancer, Peter, one of the most aggressive types of breast cancer. And they're able to switch it off. And when they do, the tumors shrink as well, and they stop it from spreading. This just was published yesterday. That's how much up to date we are, Peter.
Good.
They've applied to the FDA in the United States to... I think that's the Federal Drug Administration, if I'm not mistaken, to start human trials.
Good.
Yeah, because, this will be a huge, huge boon if they can switch off breast cancer.
Yeah, of course, all the doctors that are treating ladies, and some gents too, they can then switch to this and really cause a great change, and that's excellent.
It is. Look, we've done a lot of work on breast cancer, a lot of shows. There's been a lot of progress. And, of course, we did a lot on diet and breast cancer. You know, I mean, some of the times it's confusing. You know, I think if you recall, a glass of milk a day can increase your likelihood of breast cancer. But if you have a cup of yogurt a day, it decreases the likelihood.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, I mean, so you got to pick and choose.
Yes, there's and of course we've talked about the broccoli sprouts and the
great success. I love broccoli.
Yeah, that broccoli is a great, in its early life, the sulforaphane, they call it. That's the common name for the drug that they're looking for, has been shown to shrink breast cancer tumors. So, but this is great news, and it's too bad it's going to come too late for a lot of people. But, you know, it's, and you're quite right, Peter, because, you know, I went through it myself, but a very large part of the radiotherapy surgery and then, you know, radiation treatment is associated with breast cancer. So it will free up facilities greatly if they can get this into the market quickly.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to follow. And broccoli, just going back to that, I love to steam that and then some cheese on top with a little cracked pepper, put it back in to melt the cheese. Yum.
You're a chef extraordinaire, Peter.
No, it's just nice.
Yes, no. So anyway, we keep following these, but unfortunately, you know, looking at all the research that's published every day, still 50% coronavirus, Peter. You know, we haven't come up with the cure. We haven't even made a heck of a lot of progress in, you know, cures and vaccinations, but there has been some. And some treatments have reduced the time period, you know, of recovery, but we're still waiting for that golden bullet that knocks coronavirus out.
Yeah, well, I think Premier this morning, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian, pointed out that we have to learn to live with it and move on.
Well, gee, I wonder what, you know, where she got that from, Peter. We might have said that 500 times in the last 3 months.
I was going to say, is she reading your mail?
Well, every week, and I don't know if your listeners know this, but I haven't done it in the last couple of weeks because, you know, you can't talk to the deaf and the dumb. But I used to send it, our broadcast, Peter, to the Premier, the Prime Minister, the Chief Medical Officer of New South Wales, Chief Medical Officer of Australia. And if we really got carried away, Peter, I used to send it to each of the Member of Parliament every week. I sent it along with a letter and said, you know, please listen to Peter and I discussing rationally how we're going to carry on from here.
Yeah, yeah, and we've got to learn to do that.
Exactly. I might have used a little more forceful language, Peter, but, you know.
Yes, we'll stay away from that. Actually, yeah, you know what I did? I bought one of those little infrared thermometers.
Oh, yeah.
And anybody who looks sus to me, I say, may I take your temperature? And if their temperature is up, I tell them to walk away.
Yeah, well, you're going to get shot by a policeman. You keep that up, Peter, pointing a gun at people.
Yeah, well, it's only infrared, but there again, he probably doesn't go out in the sun anyway.
Mm.
Yeah, and no, that fell flat, didn't it?
Look, countries, Peter, countries are learning to live with thousands of cases a day.
Yep.
And they're still going down. The incidence of cases are still going down in countries. I see Spain had a zero case a few days ago, zero cases. But they're still in the 200 to 500 a day range. Most of Europe is, you know, got it under 500. Lots of them got it under, you know, 10 or 20, a lot of the little European countries. But they unlocked, Peter, when they had as many cases, three times as many cases as we had at our peak in Australia.
That's
they
right.
Unlocked, yeah. They unlocked the economy. They got thousands, they're unlocking in the United States, and they've still got, mind you, they got 15 times as many people, but they still have, you know, 15 to 20,000 a day. Equivalent for Australia's population would be 1,000 to 1,200 a day, and they're unlocking. And they have to unlock. You know, they got a lot of riots and problems there now in the United States. And, you know, it's a delicate situation. You lock down, you throw everybody out of work, you put them into poverty. They got nothing to do, Peter. And so what do? They go out in the streets and riot. They pick a reason to initiate it. In this case, the black citizen that was killed in Minneapolis, I believe it was. And now they got riots everywhere here. And it's because They have a huge black population that's unemployed, particularly now during the coronavirus, and they want to get out there and smash windows and steal stuff and do all sorts of other stuff. I'm not talking about the entire population. I'm talking about, look, you only need like 0.1%, Peter, and that's 25,000 people.
Mate, I think you can put it down to, pardon my throat, put it down to opportunists. They see the opportunity to say, all right, you're over there riding, we'll go over here and start nicking stuff.
That's right. You get a situation where, and this is what's happened, most of the demonstrations in the daytime were relatively peaceful.
That's right.
But all those people go home, and the fringe element takes over at night.
Mm-hmm.
And they've arrested 700 people in New York yesterday, and they're using tear gas and percussion, grenades and all sorts of other things.
Rubber bullets.
Trying to control the crowd. But it's a tough situation. You send the army out and you look like you're suppressing a minor. And if you don't do anything, you've got the place running riot 7 days or 8 days in a row now. So
yeah, and it's getting worse. And I noticed that there were some people in Australia. I'm not sure where that was. I think it was Melbourne. In sympathy with what's going on over there, they were having a demonstration, but nowhere near how it's depleted in America. That's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you can have protest. Look, we have them here. How many Australian Indigenous people have been killed by police in custody or in arrest or in jail?
Yes.
Not enough is made of it. Front page today, police kicking a young Aboriginal child. A kid, he's a teenager. But, the Australian police are going to find out what the American police found out a long time ago. If there's three people in a group, one of them's got a camera, a cell phone, taking pictures,
and they get out.
But this cop, when he was kicking this Aboriginal kid that's in the paper today, I bet he didn't think about that when he was kicking the kid. Gee, I'm going to be famous. I'm going to be on the national news.
Yeah, what a way to get there, though. That's terrible.
It is. But that's the attitude, Peter.
Yeah.
The attitude is, you little bastard, I'm going to give you what's coming to you. But that's not his job.
No, that's right. That's what the court's for.
Yeah. So... but it doesn't result in, a big riot here or a national riot. So that's...
Step back. Anything's liable to happen, mate, unfortunately.
Yeah. But anyway, the numbers aren't there either, Peter, localized riots are one thing, but, national riots are completely different, so...
Sure. Mate, we've got to brighten up the scene here. And we're running a bit over time, but that doesn't matter. We've got to brighten up the scene here and get some lovely organic wine out to people.
We do, Peter. And cellarwines.com.au, free delivery Australia-wide, 9-pack or more. And no excuse for not having it in your cellar, Peter, or in your fridge or in your cupboard or wherever you like to hide your wine from other
people. Why hide it? Put it out and... Oh, don't hide it. Put it out and be grateful you've got it.
It's true, but when you have visitors or teenage children, Peter, you have to put it under lock and key.
I could just imagine a display of wine all chained together.
Excuse me, I got a bit of a cough myself, Peter. As you know, we suffer from allergies, and we have this most beautiful slow-burning fire that burns all the time.
Oh, that's wonderful.
The problem is you got to show some intelligence when you open the door, Peter. You got to crack it and let the draft take the smoke up the chimney before you pull the door right open.
That's right.
Otherwise, you get a burst of smoke, and it affects my allergies, unfortunately. But anyway, Peter, that's great. There's no excuse. Come by this weekend. We're open. So is all the other cellar doors are open, and we're going to practice social distancing, Peter. We'll put Buddy in charge.
Yeah, well, I mean, he'll look after it. He'll probably drink the profits.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll welcome everybody this weekend, Pete. It looks like being a beautiful weekend. And even now, although it was very chilly, it's beautiful outside. You go and sit outside and have your coffee now. It's beautiful sunshine, no wind, quite warm out there, Peter. So don't worry about it being, going to be cold. It's not during the daytime.
That's all right. And it's lovely over there, too, I must admit, mate, on the winery. I enjoy my visits there very much, particularly sitting under that beautiful tree. It's just outside the window there. That's lovely.
It is. It's unfortunately losing some of its leaves, Peter. So,
so am I, but let's not get into there.
You're getting thin on top, are you, Peter?
just a little bit here and there, mate.
Okay. Well, look, great to chat with you, and we'll catch up next week.
Sure will, mate. Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Jeff from Acela Wine. That's simple, wasn't it? AcelaWines.com.au. And, well, it's beautiful drinking, too.